In your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe I could spend the whole morning singing hymns like that. Truly God-honoring hymns of worship. 1 Timothy 6, I want to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 13 through verse 16. Paul says to young Timothy and also to us, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth or makes alive all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, I give thee charge that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Do you know what time it is? I don't mean this. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, and there's a time to every purpose under heaven. To understand something of the purpose of God Almighty is to understand the times. To understand something of the purpose of God Almighty is to understand the times. Times we live in. Times in the past and so forth. There was an old preacher years ago, Rolf Barnard, who in 1950, I believe it was holding a meeting in a very large Southern Baptist so-called church, Southern Baptist. And on the first row was an assistant pastor, a young Armenian preacher, dyed in the wool, free will, Armenian young man, 21 years old. And Brother Barnard was preaching from Romans chapter 8, and he got to verse 28, and he told that young man, said, young man, stand up and quote Romans 8:28 for all of us. And the young man got up and said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that young man today says that as soon as he got through saying purpose, Barnard screamed at the top of his lungs, purpose! Purpose! God does everything on purpose. He said, young man, learn something of that and you'll know something about the God of the Bible. Purpose. And God does it. And that young man, the Lord has done great things through that one word, purpose. The word of God is quick, it's powerful. One word, God does everything on purpose and for a purpose. And God does everything on purpose and right on time. Right according to His eternal schedule, which will not be altered to the second. And that's why I say we need to know what time it is. Now, there are different times. There are time, past times, there's present time, there's future time. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to take us through seven times. Seven times. And our text here in verse 16 says they're His times. The times of Christ. They're His times. They all have something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. His times. I've chosen my words carefully. Now it's proof, listen to me, it is proof of man's ignorance and man's depravity that the very times are measured by this one named Jesus. The very times are measured in terms of this Lord Jesus Christ. You have B.C., before Christ. You have A.D., Anno Domino, in the year of our Lord. It's proof of man's ignorance and his depravity that although time itself is even measured by Christ, they give no thoughts whatsoever to Christ. Now, the first time we have, I want you to turn over to John chapter 1. His times, the times of Christ, seven times of Christ. The first time is when there was no time, or the time before time. Eternity past, the Scriptures talks about it. John chapter 1, turn over there with me. The time before time, our Lord Jesus Christ was and is. John chapter 1, look at verse 1 with me. It says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before creation, before the angels, before heaven, before the earth, before man, it says, verse 2, the same, or the Word was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ was with God. Where was He? He was with God. Well, what was He doing? I've told you that story about that old black preacher one time. And a fella walked into the service and the preacher was preaching about God Almighty and His glory. He's in His glory. He's in His glory. And he was talking about before the heavens were made and before man was made. And he looked at that visitor and he said, old man, where was God before time began? And the man said, I don't know. And the old black preacher screamed at the top of his lungs, He was in His glory. He didn't need man. He didn't need the earth. He didn't need anybody or anything, angels to support. He was just in His glory. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We read throughout the Scriptures that if you have God, you have everything, right? What did they need? So where was Christ before time? He was in His glory. He said that in John 17. In light of that, think about these verses. John 17, and Christ praying to His Father. He said in verse 5, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self. Father, glorify me with Your own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. And He said in verse 24, He said, Father, I will that they also, whom You've given me, be with me where I am. Where's that? In His glory. That they may behold my glory. which Thou hast given me, for You loved me before the foundation of the world. So before time was Christ's time. And Christ, where was He? He was in His glory. What was He doing? Being glorious. Before time was the times of Christ. And then you have, secondly, the time of creation. God Almighty, and back in John chapter 1, He says in verse 3, the time of creation was the time of Christ. Verse 3, it says that this Word that was in the beginning with God, that was in His glory with God, having need of nothing else. Verse 3, it says that all things were made by Him. And without Him, without Christ, was not anything made that was made. And we'll just let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth and let them go about trying to disprove the deity of Christ. It doesn't even bear arguing, does it? These verses. My sheep hear My voice, and all of His sheep, all of God's people see Christ stamped on those verses about it, as if someone took a big rubber stamp and red ink and put Christ on it. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus Christ is no less than the Almighty Creator of all things. Very God of very God, the Scripture said. The verses in Colossians chapter 1 say this, that by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, angels, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ made planet Earth. He is God. And the time of creation then was the time of Christ. It was His time. His times. The same One who said, let the waters be gathered together and dry land appear. Let there be a great ocean gathered together. The same One walked this planet and one day stood up to that ocean that was boisterous, that ocean He made, and said, you hush up now. And it obeyed Him like a dog laying at a master's feet, didn't it? How could that be? The ox knows his owner. The ass is master's crib. The ocean knows who made it. Hush up. Be still. The same One who said, let the earth bring forth the fruit tree. Let the earth bring forth herbs and every plant and the fruit tree, the tree that bringeth forth its fruit in due season. One day was walking this planet and walked by a tree, a fig tree, and there wasn't any figs on it. Now, it may have been February. It may not have been the time for fruit to be on it. But He said, wither. You'll not have fruit from anymore from this day forward. And a tree heard His voice. The same One who said, let us make man after our own image. The same One who in the beginning said, I'm going to make man in My own image. I'm going to be his God. He's going to be my man. He's going to be my creature. I'm the Creator. He's my creature. The same One walking along the Sea of Galilee one day saw two such men, two such creatures of his, and said, follow me. And it was like they dropped their nets. They left their daddy, their boats, their livelihood, and just stepped in line behind Him. They knew their Creator, didn't they? So the time of creation was the time of Christ. Christ's time. His times. And the third one. The third time. After you have the creation, you have a certain amount of time that passed. And the Scriptures, it's known through the Scriptures as the time of the prophets. Right? Moses was a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Our Lord said, what did He say about Abraham? Abraham was a prophet. And Abraham told his story to his posterity. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see My day. And he saw it and was glad. Every event, everything that transpired in the lives of all of these early men and women down through those years was Christ's time. Everything related to Christ somehow. And it was all recorded in a book, wasn't it, Joe? Moses, he said, wrote of me. Moses wrote all about me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are not the law, that's the books of Christ, His times, telling about the Christ who is, even the law, Moses took dictation from Christ. You know who it was giving the law on Mount Sinai that day? You say, well, it was God. It was Christ. He's the lawgiver. He was given the law. He was the one that was writing it with His finger on those tables. And all the types and the symbols and the ceremonies down through the years that God gave from Mount Sinai, they all spoke of Christ, didn't they? God was the great architect and the creator of all things. And He wrote a book, Terry. And in that He laid down specific blueprints all to make up this glorious picture of the Christ. Samuel spoke of the coming King, one who was a man after God's own heart. David spoke of the coming King and Lord. Solomon spoke of the coming Beloved One and the Wise One. Isaiah spoke of the glorious substitute, His vicarious work. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all spoke of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The times of the prophets, the times of Christ, they're His times. His time. And all of them said the same thing. Someone is coming. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. And the last prophet. Turn over to Mark chapter 1 with me. Mark chapter 1. Do you know who the last prophet is? Huh? Somebody tell me who the last prophet is. John the Baptist. Good. John the Baptist, the last prophet, he said here in Mark chapter 1, look at verses 2 and 3 in Mark chapter 1. This is what our Lord says about John. As it is written in the prophets, behold, Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, before the coming of Christ, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. Look at verse 7. And John preached, saying this, somebody's coming. There comes one. Somebody's coming. Oh, John said, he's mightier than I. Oh, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. He said in verse 8, I baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass. It happened. Verse 9. In those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway, coming up out of the water, John saw the heavens open, and the Spirit of God, like a dove, descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. It's time. That's what he was saying. It's time. The king is here. Now, did you follow my chronology there? In the beginning, Paul said in our text, young Timothy, it was his times. In his times, he will show. In his times, God's going to show off his Son. That's what time is all about.
Before time began, before there was time, Christ was. In the time of creation, Christ made everything. In the times of the prophets, all talked about time when Christ would come. And here this day and this hour came forth, and Christ stood up before all men and said, "It's time." In other words, he's saying, "All time is now fulfilled. I'm here." Eternity had said somebody's coming. Creation pointed to it. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth. The prophet said somebody's coming. And here this day and hour, the King of glory walked the planet and said, "It's time. Here I am." I'm here. The King had come to earth. And then you have the fourth time here. It's the time that Christ walked this earth. And oh, what a time it was. In the space of 33 and a third years, if all that was done, or all that was done by Him and said by Him was written in a book, the Scripture says that all the libraries in all of the world couldn't hold the things that were done by this one man in 33 years. Time of Christ upon this earth. Paul said in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So in time Christ came, and Paul said to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. At this time, the time that Christ came, I'm going to find somebody that's listening to me. To declare at this time, I say, His righteousness. To declare who God really is. That's what the whole book of Revelation is. To reveal who the glory and the majesty and the power and the honor and the holiness of God Almighty, who He is, who Christ is. And when Christ walked this earth, He didn't walk here to be an example. He didn't walk here to show men how they ought to live, although He did. That wasn't it. He came here to reveal the Father, to reveal God, the fullness of time. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. So God sent His Son in disguise. God sent His Son, but He was in disguise, you see. And men esteemed Him not. God walked the earth, and men esteemed Him not. He walked in disguise, disguised as a man. And He was made under God's holy law, and He came down here to establish holiness as a man, to establish righteousness as a man, to establish a life that God would accept for men, for some men. Then, the Scripture says, He gave Himself a ransom for all of those people, all of His sheep, to be testified in due time. To be shouted and proclaimed from the rooftop in due time what He'd done, who He is, why He came, and what He did. And I want to read to you from John chapter 7 now. John chapter 7. Turn over there. John chapter 7. And over again, the Lord, while He was upon this earth, gave a little glimpse of Himself. He opened up the veil a little bit. Over and over again, He would draw back the curtain a little bit and reveal who He was and show His power. And over again, men and women tried to kill Him. They tried to kill Him. But they couldn't. And He kept saying, "It's not time. My time has not come yet. It's not time." Read in John 7 with me, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come. Your time is always ready." The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go up into the feast. I'm not going up yet unto this feast. My time is not yet full come. Y'all go on up ahead of me, he said to his disciples. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still at Galilee. Now when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, but not openly. He hid himself, just as he did while he was on this earth. This day he hid himself, as it were in secret he went up. Verse 11, then the Jews, they were all taught, a great multitude of people were met at this religious gathering, and they sought him, this great teacher at the feast, and said, where is he? You'll see him soon enough. It's just not time. Where is he? I want to have a talk with him. You just wait. He'll reveal himself here. Look at verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, after they, all these preachers and this and that and the other had been, got through talking, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple. You remember the story of Solomon walking into his temple? What must his gait, what must his walk have been like? What a majestic walk. Walking in, that was his temple. That whole temple was a picture of him. And he went up into the temple and taught, sat down and taught in the midst of that temple. Now, verse 25. And while he was teaching, some of them were in the background, said, some of them said, now, isn't this he? Isn't that him? Aren't they trying to kill him? Isn't this the one they're trying to kill? Well, lo, he speaks boldly. He's teaching in the temple. Somebody go tell the Pharisee. Somebody go tell the Roman. Here he is. He's in the temple. He's speaking boldly. And they don't say anything. Don't the rulers indeed know that this is the very Christ? Do they know that? Verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you know me, Jesus. You know which I am, Nazareth. But I'm not coming myself. He that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, and I'm from him. And he has sent me. Now look at these verses. Then they sought to take him. But no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Over and over again, they tried to kill him. But one time, they grabbed the hold of him and said, you got him? Yeah, I got him. You got him? Let's take him. I thought you had him. Over and over again, this happened. It wasn't time. It wasn't his time. And over again, he said, no man takes my life from me. You can't kill God. And finally, in the garden, one last display of his glorious power and his might to prove his invincibility, his immortality, like our text says, who only hath immortality. You can't kill God. One last display of that stand. The soldiers and the chief priests and rulers and all that came to get him one time. And he stood up in front of his disciples, their blessed captain, and stood up in front of them and said, who are you looking for? I don't know how he had disguised himself or whatever, but they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And one last display, they fell back to the ground. No man takes my life from me, but when the time comes, when it was time, finally our Lord said over in another passage in Luke, he said, this is your hour. You remember that? When he said, this is your hour, it's the power of darkness. And God Almighty from heaven, as it were, said to his son, he said, let him take you. Finally, when the time came, God Almighty said, let him have you. Let him do with you as they will. So they took the Lord of glory and they crucified him with wicked hands. But only when the time was fulfilled, when his hour was come. They did what God had determined before to be done. And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. the Scripture said. And he hung on that tree, and he shed his precious blood, and before he gave up the ghost, he said, what did he say? It's finished. The moment that time had been waiting for. The redemption of the sons of God. In due time, he died. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, to be made of a woman, to be made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law in all time and eternity and history and every event and everything that took place in the history of man. And in the mind, the purpose of God Almighty pointed to this one event, this central figure hanging upon this cross. And he said those three amazing words, "It's over." Sins were punished. God's people go free. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it says 3 days later, he arose from the grave, went back to heaven, and sat down on a throne. Now do you know what time it is? Huh? The Scripture. You remember when Noah made the ark? What happened after he got the ark made? You remember? As soon as the ark was prepared, what happened? You Sunday school teachers, what happened after Noah made the ark? The ark was complete. What happened? Noah went in, right. But then what happened? God waited 7 days, didn't he? Huh? 7 days? Before he closed the door? 7 days. Right now is like the 7 days before the door of the ark is shut. Right? It's a day of salvation. Today. Paul said over and over again, today. While it's called today, harden not your heart as in the provocation when our fathers did tempt him in the wilderness. Today. This is a time of salvation. This is the day. This is the hour of salvation. This is the time of calling. What I'm doing right now is calling God's sheep. I'm on the trail of God's sheep. Do you know what time it is? It's Christ time. And right now, at this particular hour and moment, it's the day of salvation. There's no promise of tomorrow. It's right now. The day of salvation. It's time of calling. Calling His sheep out. I'm trying to call His sheep out through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. It's a time of gospel preaching. There's coming a time when there are no more gospel preachers, no more churches like this. No more opportunities to hear this gospel. It's the time of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Christ said, "I'll send my Comforter"? And He'll say, like in Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people. Go down there and spread the blessed good news. It's the time of the gospel. The Holy Spirit, the gospel's running well under the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sheep are being called out. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. It's a day of deliverance. It's a day when God Almighty calls and men answer. A day when God Almighty is calling. That's what I'm doing, through a man. And the reason people can't bear to sit and listen to this very long, or won't do it, is because it is a man. But the fact of the matter is, God does call through men. He's still disguising His voice. But it's the Word of God nonetheless. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to this. He says, "I've heard you." It's a time when God calls and when men answer. Has God called you? Huh? Or have you answered? "Whosoever shall call upon the..." That's the answer of the child of God. That's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism, witness in a good confession, following Him in baptism and faith and worship, that's the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's the answer of the heart to the call of God, to the call of the gospel. And God calls, says, "Sinner, you need Christ." And the sinner says, "Christ, I need you." And he says here in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, "I've heard you in a time accepted." This is the acceptable time. It's the time, Joe, when God's receiving sinners. God's accepting Worms. God's admitting worms into the ark. Don't you know that when Noah got all those elephants and rhinos and hippopotamuses and zebras and thoroughbreds and all those glorious creatures in the ark, somebody said, "Well, shut the door." No, wait. There's a couple of worms. It'll be a while yet. I see them on down the road. Worms. Worms? We don't need worms. Who needs worms? Just hold on. God has a people out of every species. God has the worms. And God's still letting worms in. They are. Still letting them in. And God says, "I've heard you in a time accepted." This is a time when God's accepting such as we are, sinners. "In the day of salvation, I've succored thee." Come on now. Worm. Don't you know Noah and all of them said, "Come on, boys, you can make it." Come on. Might have got behind them. "I've succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, that's a good message, preacher. I'll see you next Sunday. No, you may not. Paul said perilous times. We're in perilous times. Paul said they're in the last times. It's the last time, brethren. Paul said time's short. He said redeem the time. Make good use of it. Time is short. Paul said, knowing the time, he said, it's high time that we awake out of sleep. Didn't it? Knowing the time, he said, it's high time. Did your daddy ever say that to you, John? Some of you men? No, it's high time you listened up here. Did he ever say that to you, Joe? Oh, it's about time. I tell you what, it's high time, son, that you straighten up and walk right. And that's exactly what God said in that very passage of Scripture. Knowing the time, it's high time that we grow up and become as men, put away childish things, begin to follow. He's right around the corner. He's even at the door, the Scriptures say. It's just about midnight. You know that? You know what time it is? It's just about midnight. And the bell ain't going to toll. A trumpet is. To wake everybody out of their spiritual sleep. It's high noon. Anybody ever see those old westerns? High noon? Huh? Was it Gary Cooper in that movie? High noon? You know what happened at high noon, don't you? Bullets are going to fly. It's judgment time. Judgment time. It's high noon. You know that? It's about high noon. When the Son of God's about to shine at His highest. You know what high noon is? That's when the sun rises to its peak, isn't it? Especially in the summertime. High noon. It's when the sun shines at its brightest and at its hottest. It'll burn you to a crisp if you get out in the sun at high noon very long. It's about high noon. The sun is about to rise in judgment, in heat. That's what it says in our text here. Look back at the text. Go back to 1 Timothy 6. So it's the time of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not tonight. Today. Time of salvation. And sixthly, it's the time of Christ's return. Look at verse 12 through 15 with me. The time of 1 Timothy 6. It's the time of Christ's return. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, he said. Lay hold. It's a fight just to stay awake in church. To listen to this. He says, lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called. You're called. You've got the most blessed. Sitting here in this pew this morning is the most blessed and glorious privilege known to man. You know that? There's people down in Mexico right now that get in the back of a steak bed truck and ride for 5 hours to come hear one gospel message and sit in 100-degree heat with mosquitoes and flies swarming their faces. I know. I got bit by them. And we sit here in the fineries, and some of us, most of us, don't have to drive more than 5 or 10 minutes. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Don't you know he got tired? Huh? He didn't sleep for 4 days before the crucifixion. You know that? Christ didn't go to sleep, stand for 4 days. And he stood before Pilate. And finally Pilate said, "Behold the man." What a man. What a man. And he tells us the same thing. I charge you. Witness the good profession. Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable under the period of our... Wait! Didn't our Lord say over and over again, watch, watch! When the Lord comes, will He find faith on the earth? Watch! Wait! He's right at the door. Verse 15, because it says, in His times, when due time has come. Now, you remember back everything I've been saying? Today's the day of salvation, but there's coming a time when time is no more. When God says to the Son, it's time. You know that? He's sitting down on a throne right now. There's coming a time when God Almighty turns to His beloved, blessed, glorious Son, that King sitting on a throne, and says, it's time. See, He's seated right now. He's going to get up. He's going to get up. And His train is going to fill the temple. He's going to split heaven wide open. And the whole earth, even north and south poles, are going to see Him at the same time. As He is. And He's going to say, I'm here. It's time. He's going to be put on permanent display. In His times, God's going to show who? Who? The blessed and only potentate. He's not going to be in disguise. He's going to reveal His full splendor. He's not going to be in the face of a man. He's going to be the face of God. He's not going to be without beauty that none should desire Him. He's going to be the altogether lovely one. He's not going to be a baby in arms. He's going to be a king on a throne. He's not going to be riding a donkey anymore. He's going to be riding a white horse, Scripture says. The trumpet's going to sound. The King's here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the saints say. Amen, amen, come. Now, I want to see this, don't you? It'll be the end of time as we know it. In His times, He's going to show. What a show that's going to be. The potentate. Huh? He ain't going to need a fish hat, is it? Who is the blessed and only, the only master teacher, rabbi, father, doctor, reverend, pope, most high, head over the heaven and earth? The only one. And all these petty popes and priests, they're going to jerk those hats off just as quick as they can, aren't they? As soon as they see Him. Aren't they? Preachers going to turn their collars around so fast they can't help it when they see Him. The only potentate. These usurpers of thrones. Kings, presidents going to jerk, rip their clothes off. I'm a usurper. I'm a pretender. Dash their robes and collars at His feet. They're going to melt at His presence. Oh, cry. There's going to be a prayer meeting. The rocks and the hills fall on us. I've been lifted up with pride. Now look who I have to face. Kill me now and put me out of it. And God's going to show them who's the only potentate. Think of the audacity of a man to use that term, pope. Or for that matter, rabbi. Or for that matter, reverend. Huh? They're going to wish they never had the title. God, when God shows in His times, the time of Christ's return, and who is the King of Kings? The King of Kings, all pretended rulers and monarchs and princes and presidents, all in their regal, in their regalia, they're going to see who really reigns and rules. and the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of earth. And they're going to see like old Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar when he got all lifted up in his pride and his pompous attitude? He said, I did all this for myself, didn't he? And God reduced him to a bird, to a beast of a field. And finally he said, I know who reigns. Now I know. He said, I thought I was in charge. And that'll be the same with every man and woman and boy and girl who thought they were in control of their lives or destiny. They're going to see who reigns. They're going to see who reigned all along in his time from eternity past to eternity future. Who's really reigning? Who's running the show? Who's boss? They're going to see. Who's king? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he sovereignly giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the Lord of lords. The Lord of lords. All going to see the one God made Lord. Not some Jesus that men say you got to make him Lord and whenever you get good and ready. The one God made Lord. They're going to see him. And they're not going to see some Jesus men have to vote on, decide to let him in their hearts. They're going to see the Lord of life. They're going to see, they're going to hear keys jangling, aren't they? Won't you let Jesus into your heart? Look, you understand, he's got the key to every door, doesn't he? Huh? Isn't that what the Scripture said? They're not going to see some pitiful, helpless victim. They're going to see the righteous judge before whom all must stand. And not the one men ask, what you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Every eye is going to behold the one, and they're going to ask this one question. What's he going to do with me? King of kings, Lord of lords. Look at verse 16. Who only hath immortality, eternal life, to give or withhold? And no man lays his takes his life from him. He lays it down of himself. And even then, he couldn't kill him. Even the grave couldn't hold him. He dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. He's a God who's a consuming fire, in whose presence no man can stand, much less speak to him. I hear all these mongrels and imbeciles and peanut head, peanut brain people saying, I told Jesus that. No man can stand in his presence. No man hath seen him, the Scripture said. No man can see him in this flesh. You got to be made perfect. And he sums it all up by saying, to whom? To whom be honor and power everlasting. And he just adds to it, what more is there to say? But amen. Amen. What time is it? And how do you know what time it is? It's his time. It always has been. It always has been. It's his time. He made time for his sake, for his glory, for his honor. From the very beginning when there was no time, to the very end when there'll be no time, it's the time of Christ. Everything in between points to him. It's his time. And it's high time we got to know him and bow before him. It's only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, and bow at his feet. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess he's Lord. All right, Brother Joe, come on up and we'll sing that hymn that I had selected there. What number is it? 42. All hail the power. In Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth that royal diadem and crown him. Lord of all. Let's stand and sing this together.